You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Greetings and welcome to the Maggie Don Show. I am not Maggie Don. I am Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host this afternoon for the Maggie Don Show across the Civic Media Network. Thank you so much for joining all of us for this wonderful broadcast this afternoon. It's a busy day in Wisconsin. We got a Brewers home opener. We're one day away from the spring election. There's a lot going on. It's all pretty discombobulating, but I am here to recombobulate with you for the next couple hours. We have a terrific show planned, but first, remember to be a voter. Learn about where your polling location is for the Wisconsin April 1st spring election and what you need to do to register in person on election day if needed at myvote.wi.gov. Again, that's myvote.wi.gov. From local to statewide races, make your plan to be a voter between now and Tuesday, April 1st. That's tomorrow. It is coming right up on us, folks. And so to kick off the show here, We have Todd Alba, host of The Alba Show, here with us to continue a discussion that we were having during his show. But just to let you know what we have ahead planned for us as well, we have a terrific show planned. Ben Wickler, the chair of the State Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is going to be joining us at 2:30. At 3 o'clock, Ari Berman, who is one of the foremost voting rights reporters in the country. He writes for Mother Jones. He's going to be joining us at that time. And then at 3:30, former Attorney General Eric Holder, who is also the chair of the National Democratic Redistricting Committee. He is going to be joining us as well. So we have a terrific show to recombobulate here with you. But first, kicking things off with none other than Todd Alba. Todd, how are you?
Well, I'm well. And again, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. You got that great guest lineup of all those really important people. And then he kicks it off with a guy who, I'm not joking for those not watching on the stream, is using a Milton Berle joke book as a microphone stand.
Who's to say that Ben Wickler and Eric Holder aren't doing the same with their microphone stands?
Well, it's great to be with you. The Brewers are not doing so hot right now. I know on some of the Civic Media stations it's being broadcast, but they're down right now. Still 4-0.
Yeah. Still 4-0 on the Brewers broadcast. There. That's all right. It's all right. We'll get those bats going a little bit earlier. Right. That's okay, right, though. But just to reset for our listeners here, I joined Todd's show to talk a little bit about the voter ID amendment that is going to be on the ballot statewide. You know, I think because the Wisconsin Supreme Court race has gotten so much attention over the past few months as we've gone through the campaign here, especially lately with the record spending, I think Wiz Politics reported today north of $100 million that has been spent.
$100 million
spent on this one race alone. Record spending also on the state superintendent race. We've got referenda for schools and local government around the state, but we also have this amendment that is going to be on the ballot statewide. About voter ID. And this amendment, like so many others, has confusing language, is changing language in the state constitution. So this is a big deal. And I will just read it verbatim here before we jump into it. So this question that is going to be on the ballot statewide asks about photographic identification for voting. Shall Section 1M of Article 3 of the Constitution be created to require that voters present valid photographic identification verifying their identity in order to vote in any election, subject to exceptions which may be established by law? And you answer yes or no. Now, many of pro-democracy organizations around the state, League of Women Voters, Common Cause, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, they are encouraging people to vote no in this election. I think many people are opposed to this type of practice of pushing these questions to a state constitution instead of finding some sort of bipartisan solution in the legislature. But we were talking before the break. Todd, you've got a pretty interesting history talking about voter ID and being in the room when Wisconsin Republicans moved to enact voter ID. And you talked about how their motivations for this were especially partisan.
Yeah, I'll bring, for those that didn't listen to the end of our show, I'll give you a quick synopsis of where we left off last hour here at Dan Schaefer. So I was a member of the Republican Party up until 2011 when I left it because of what I'm about to say. I was working for former state senator and Senate Majority Leader Republican Dale Schultz. There was a what's called a closed session of their caucus. Both Republicans and Democrats do this where members and staff get to go behind closed doors and discuss legislation. Why that's allowed, we'll leave that to Maggie Dawn and others, but it is. But I was witness to when they were discussing these so-called voter ID bills back in 2011, and former State Senator Mary Lozick, who chaired the Senate Committee on Elections, was frustrated that her colleagues weren't behind this more and stood up and said, hey, we ought to think about what this would really mean for voters in places like Milwaukee and college campuses, i.e., it would suppress the vote. My boss, former boss, is the only one that put his hand on the desk and say, hey, we ought to think about what we're doing here. Glenn Grothman, who was a state senator, now a U.S. congressman, said, hey, Dale, the Democrats would do the same thing if they were in charge, so we better hurry up and do it while we can. My boss walked out in protest. He told me to stay there and listen. For about 90 minutes, I heard my party talk about gleefully, not everybody in the room, but many, talk gleefully about taking people's constitutional rights away. And I walked down to his office afterwards and said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. It's not who I am. He said, by that time, he knew he was not going to run for election. He said, well, you don't have to do any other stuff, but stay here and help me. And he ended up voting against the final two so-called voter ID bills because he told us, well, let's do it ourselves. Let's do the research. And so at the time, and I want to give him a shout out, Joe Hassler Jr. from the great city of Reedsburg, Wisconsin, who is a graduate of the J School, Journalism School at UW-Madison, was on staff. And he actually helped. He did most of the work. And we looked at, did a bunch of research, and we could only find two voters in Wisconsin who had quote unquote voter fraud. One was a current Republican staffer who had, of the legislature who voted in Madison and her hometown in northern Wisconsin. And the other was Robin Voss's, one of his many estranged former wives now, who had voted in Racine and then voted out in Idaho. And Voss got the Republican DA in Racine County to expunge the charges. And that's why Dale said, this is not happening. It's not a thing, to borrow Jane Mattner's phrase. It shouldn't be a thing, and it isn't a thing. And he voted no. And so where we left the story, fast forward to 2016, I had a barista in my little private coffee business who happened to be Latino from Los Angeles. He went to vote in the 2016 primary, couldn't, because the law that I witnessed being crafted had then been implemented by Walker. And it denied, because he only had a California driver's license, he didn't have time to get his birth certificate back from L.A. to Wisconsin to get a Wisconsin one, and he was not allowed to vote.
So you saw firsthand two things here. One, you saw the voter ID law that was passed and enacted disenfranchise people from voting, disenfranchise this individual who you were working with at the time. And you also saw the motivations behind the law, which were purely partisan and not part of the, you know, with the phrase they use now is election integrity. I don't know if that's the same thing that they were saying at the time, but it's essentially along the same lines. But it was very much, and it is now, a solution in search of a problem, because there was no widespread voter fraud before any voter ID was enacted. There has been no widespread voter fraud since, you know, as they passed it. This has always struck me as like an interesting part of this story. After Republicans passed it, it was in the 2020 election that they had so many problems with you know, they said it was like, oh, easy to vote, hard to cheat, right?
Right, right.
And they made it that way. And in their words, saying hard to cheat. And then they said, oh, no, our guy lost, so let's try to overturn the election.
Correct.
And that has always struck me as a kind of telling piece of all of this. But now here we are a couple years later, 5 years since they tried to overturn the election now. And now they're putting this on the ballot. And I think just in general practice, I'm going to be voting against this. In general practice, I don't like what Republicans are doing here in forcing these poorly worded questions onto the statewide ballot.
I voted early on Friday. I've been voting sticker on for those watching on the stream. I voted no as well, not because I'm fine with a voter ID. What I'm not fine with are these supplemental laws, which make it harder to get a photo ID. I think it should be, for instance, when we get our driver's license, we should be registered to vote. I think that student IDs on campuses should be a legal form of ID, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I voted against this referendum, A, because I know what's behind it, and B, what the implications could be on women, denying them the right to vote, and other people as well across Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, so we're both taking that course of action here. I also am fairly confident that this amendment is going to pass by a pretty significant margin.
Yes.
and there are a couple of reasons for that. One is just like we've said what Republicans have been doing with these constitutional amendments, the majority of them had passed since they've in absence of a coordinated kind of campaign against it. You know, Sarah Godlewski pushed to keep the state treasurer's office when that was on the ballot. There was another one last summer about the direction of federal funds that Wisconsin Democrats really organized against during the summer primary. But most of these passed. So I expected to pass, one, for that reason, and two, because I think it is public opinion on voter ID has shifted in pretty significantly in one direction. As we talked about in the last segment, the most recent Marquette University Law School poll took a look at this, asking if you favor or oppose requiring a government-issued photo ID to vote. 77% of registered voters who responded to that said that they favor requiring a government-issued photo ID to vote. So I think it is... it's part of just reading the writing on the wall here of where things have gone. And I think there is just kind of generally a little bit more adoption of photo IDs in our day-to-day lives now in 2025, as opposed to where things were in 2011. And so I think the progression of this is part of the story that we're looking at as well. We're going to continue having this conversation with Todd Alba for one more segment after the break here. Then we'll be talking to Ben Wickler and the rest of our wonderful guests here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be right back.
Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media. And I am joined for this first part of the show by Civic Media's own Todd Alba. Todd, we were talking before the break about the voter ID amendment and about the history of this, and you had some more thoughts to share.
Well, we had talked about this when we started kind of doing this crossover on our show earlier, and I appreciate you being with us then. And we started this, so I thought, you know, I have a bad habit, ask our producer Zomers, of starting something and then leaving the audience hanging, you know, like a cliffhanger. So I thought I should at least wrap up the story. And I know we left off here with saying, you know, that back in 2011, I was witness to some of these bills being crafted and then forward to 2016. And my barista, because I was in the private sector at a coffee shop at the time, and my barista, a young man from a 22-year-old Latino guy from L.A., who had a valid California driver's license, and yes, for those that want to know, was born in the United States, a full-blown U.S. citizen, tried to vote, and he couldn't because of the bills that I saw crafted being enacted, which meant you had to get a birth certificate, not just switch out a valid driver's license from another state. And so I took to my computer and said, this is why I left the Republican Party, and made a Facebook post, which Dan tells me is still in existence out there. I guess these things still exist. And I basically told this.
The internet is forever, Todd.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It has 3,000 shares on that post.
Not bad for a kid, you know, from 2016. I'm not no Dan Schaefer, mind. I'm no recombobulation area, but
all
it was
right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this, and I forgot because of my time in the Capitol, a lot of press people still followed me. And the next thing you know, my phone's blown up, but I end up my 10 minutes of fame on the Chris Hayes show on MSNBC and other places. And I get a call from 2016, was Glenn in Congress then or running for Congress? I forget.
I think running for Congress.
And here I am, and my barista, Miguel, answers. He goes, it's somebody named Glenn for you. And I'm like, what? And so I pick it up, and I said, Glenn, it's Glenn Grothman. And I said, Glenn, I'm waiting on people. I just want to talk to you. I said, I'll call. Anyway, I finally connect with him, gave me his personal cell phone, and he read my comments and now the news stories. And he goes, well, I think you're misremembering. I said, no, Glenn. Mm. And so we go back and forth, and it was a fairly respectful conversation. But I finally said, Glenn Grothman, Glenn, I said, we did the research. Dale had us do it. There is no voter fraud. I said, where is your proof that there is voter fraud in Wisconsin? And Glenn Grothman said, and I'll never forget it, quote, well, we think it's happening, unquote. And I said, so you're willing to disenfranchise fellow Americans, fellow Wisconsinites, because you think something's happening. And he really had no answer. And the phone call ended shortly thereafter. And I just thought it was really sad, quite frankly. And I think it's an unfortunate, good indication of where the Republican MAGA party is coming from now from 16 to 2025 to this referendum on the ballot tomorrow. Don't be fooled, folks. There is an intent here. And I ended up going, Josh Call was in private practice then. He was leading a federal case. Literally, I found myself on a stand in a federal court two blocks away. On this case, I was the lead witness. And guess who was the attorney general leading the charge against me that day, Dan Schaefer?
I'm gonna have one guess here.
One guess.
I'm gonna guess it's Brad Schimmel.
Ding, 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 ding. You are correct, sir. And Brad Schimmel had one of his minion assistant AGs there and gets up and says, well, Judge Peterson, great judge, says, Mr. Allball is going to get up here and tell this story under oath, but he's not even going to name any names. This is hearsay. And I went on the stand and I looked Brad Schimmel right in the eye and I said, Mary Lozick, Paul Farrow. I went Randy Hopper. And I went right down the list of state senators who are in favor of this. And Brad Schimmel's face kind of turned white. And the only cross-examination they had for me was, well, can you remember the exact day this happened? I said, I have the notes. I'm sure I could get it for you. And here, Dan, I spent 2 hours talking to the United States Department of Justice about this. They wanted to talk to me. And here's the thing. To this day, Glenn Grothman, Scott Fitzgerald, not one other member of the Republican Party that was in that room that day, a legislator or a staffer, ever questioned privately or publicly my testimony, because they know it's true and the consequences for that are pretty harsh.
It's a remarkable story. You know, it's like in Wisconsin, you pull any thread, you're going to get back to, you know, these various characters, right? Of course, it's Brad Schimmel, who's the attorney general yeah. who you're meeting with at the time. Of course, this is back on the ballot when Brad Schimmel, is running for state Supreme Court, with the backing of Elon Musk. Of course, we're having this conversation the day after Elon Musk takes the stage in Green Bay and hands out million-dollar checks to people for voting, even as Republicans for years and years and years and years and years and years and years have complained about, quote-unquote, buying votes. Yeah. It turns out, you know, maybe they didn't actually believe that as a principle. Maybe they just wanted somebody on their side to be doing something much more blatantly than has ever happened on the other side before.
I've known Brad Schimmel. Not me alone. Josh called other people testified to that federal case. By the way, the judge ruled in favor of us. The only thing he couldn't overturn was voter ID because the U.S. Supreme Court had already ruled on that. But I'm a guy who's actually beaten Brad Schimmel. I know he's sloppy in his work. He doesn't do his homework and he's unprepared. I don't think that's the kind of person we want on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court.
Certainly not. Certainly not. And, you know, we've got an extraordinarily important everything on the line race. Less that the polls are going to be opening
as always.
And yeah, of course, in Wisconsin. There's so many different storylines that are weaving in and out of all of this,
it's
right?
Very discombobulating.
It's very discombobulating. There's the Elon Musk of it all. There's this happening 71 days into Donald Trump's second term. There's the Brad Schimmel running for 16 months for this office. There's everything that has happened throughout that time. There's so much happening, and I think the perspective that you've shared on this voter ID story, being in front of then Attorney General Brad Schimmel, it's just remarkable how these things come together and history repeats itself in certain ways and rhymes in others, right?
Happy to share the story. You're doing great work, Dan. You got a great show. I hope everybody stays tuned. It's an important one.
All right, stick with us here on the Civic Media Radio Network. After the break here, we will be joined by Ben Wickler, the state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
You learn to live again. It's times like these you give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Thank you so much for being with us across the Civic Media Network. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Dan Schaefer here filling in for Maggie Dawn here from 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network. Thank you again for joining us. Make a plan to vote in the April 1st spring general election. And when the polls close at 8, tune in here to the Civic Media Network to hear results and analysis you won't find anywhere else. So you can listen to election results on tomorrow evening, beginning at 8 p.m. for the results of statewide races for Wisconsin Supreme Court, Superintendent of Public Instruction, constitutional ballot questions, along with results from local referendum and municipal elections across the state. I will be part of that special coverage tomorrow evening, as will Todd Alba. And so we have a very exciting night for you planned, and we can recombobulate together after what is sure to be, might be a little bit of a discombobulating day. And here to talk about that, and here to talk about so many things, is Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Ben, thank you so much for joining us here on Civic Media.
Great to be with you, Dan. Great to be with the whole Civic Media community on Election Eve Day. This is
Election Eve Day.
We are sliding quickly into the final stretch in an epic showdown that, if Elon Musk has it right, could determine the fate of Western civilization.
Yeah, let's start there. Let's start by talking about Elon Musk's event last night in Green Bay, where he had some pretty lofty characterizations of what this race means. So, what was your reaction to what Musk had to say and to the event last night in Green Bay?
The event, Elon Musk trying to bribe voters, is a disgrace. This is like the most absurd kind of cartoon version of what Citizens United inflicted on our country. This is the world's richest man showing up in Wisconsin with giant novelty $1 million checks that he hands out to the head of the College Republicans of Wisconsin as though he's rewarding regular folks for siding with his team. Also, he can buy our judiciary and eliminate the independence of a branch of government and destroy federalism. This is someone who has bought Brad Schimmel. Brad Schimmel is this kind of record of supporting his campaign donors at the expense of the public. And now he wants to buy voters too. So I was shaking my head very rapidly throughout. The other thing that jumped out to me is his stated justification for all this. He doesn't talk about his own lawsuit where he can make money from this. His stated justification is that he says the control of the U.S. House is on the line in this election. And what he means is that he thinks that by, I'm sure he's right, that if he can buy the seat for Brad Schimmel, Brad Schimmel will lock in an unfair Republican gerrymander. His whole justification for this is Republicans have 6 out of the 8 congressional seats in a 50-50 state, and he wants to keep it that way forever. And that is what he says is the most important issue in this race. You know, like the idea that we should figure out whether the maps actually meet our constitutional standards or that maps should, God help us, you know, reflect the population, that has nothing to do with it. For him, it's just about power and control. And that was kind of a big reveal. For all these guys, it's just about them being in charge and all of us having to live in their world and do what they want, instead of the public being able to decide who represents them, who serves them, what the laws are that the judges should then make sure are you know, properly interpreted and executed. Like, this is about Elon Musk wanting to be king, and he didn't even get elected, as opposed to a country that, you know, Susan Crawford has served her whole life, where ultimately the people are the sovereign in the United States.
So do you think, you know, given the prominence that Musk has had, he comes to Wisconsin in the final week here, he's been the single biggest donor in the race. Do you think this race has now become a referendum on Elon Musk?
I do, which in a sense is, it's a shame because, you know, I think Susan Crawford is extraordinary. She is a public servant with integrity, with extraordinary judgment, with exactly the right judicial temperament, with this track record of having served the public, fought for voters' rights and workers' rights and reproductive freedom, versus Brad Schimmel, who is a corrupt kind of MAGA partisan, you know, Scott Walker's bagman. Now he wants to upgrade to Elon Musk's bagman. That by itself would be a really important race. The majority in the Wisconsin Supreme Court is really important, and all the issues that might be at stake in Wisconsin courts and the kind of integrity and character of the judicial candidates, all that by itself would be more than enough to make this an extremely important election. But now it is kind of centrally about this question of whether the richest person in the world gets to own Wisconsin the way he now owns the White House. And I think most people don't want him to, but if he wins, that will be the message that it sends to the country, to Wisconsinites, to the whole world, that Elon Musk is in charge. Everyone needs to do what he says. He can just stomp in and buy your election if you try to go up against him. And that makes it even more critical that he loses and Susan Crawford wins, because we have to show ourselves and this country and the world that democracy can still operate in this country, that it's not totally hopelessly broken. This is a dark time. People are scared. And I think the result of this race is going to either reinforce that kind of stark terror about where we're all headed, or light a candle in the darkness and give us some hope that we desperately need.
That is absolutely something that we desperately need. And you touched on something that I wrote about in a recent column at the Recombobulation Area too, because, you know, this race has always been super important for Wisconsin, right? For just as it was 2 years ago when the balance of power was on the line, when Janet Protasiewicz was running against Daniel Kelly, you know, many of the same themes of reproductive rights or redistricting, many of the big issues that were standing out then are also still really important in this race in Wisconsin. But it's that national resonance of what you're talking about with this being the first kind of like state level test since, you know, this election happening just 71 days after Trump returned to office, everything that's been happening with Elon Musk, with Doge, you know, do you think that has vaulted this to a level that, you know, that has symbolic resonance, not just, you know, the day-to-day lives of Wisconsinites, but for the day-to-day lives of people across the country who might be watching this as a test case for what's going to happen going forward?
I think the answer to this is absolutely yes. And I was in Kenosha with Susan Crawford on Friday. There were reporters from England, from Italy, and from Australia who were there to cover it for this exact reason, which is that it is the first test. It's the first time voters have, you know, given a thumbs up or a thumbs down to the Musk-Trump administration. And all the stuff that they're doing nationally, the you know, gutting of the Social Security Administration and the, like, looting of the Veterans Administration and the dismantling of, you know, the idea that Congress should decide what gets funded as opposed to, you know, whoever the president delegates to a position that doesn't even really exist. All that stuff is kind of now baked into this race. If Musk is able to pull this off, to buy this election, it will be seen as a ratification of a public approval in the closest state in the country of everything this administration, call it a regime, is trying to do. If Musk loses, despite spending so much and his side spending more than you know, Team Crawford has spent, Musk by himself has spent more in this race than the total spending in any previous judicial election in American history, other than the 2023 election. If Crawford wins, then that says something about whether there's a limit, there's a line that you kind of can only cross at your political peril. And I think that if Crawford wins, it actually does open this question up for Republicans about whether they are essentially walking off a plank with Elon Musk, whether they have gone so far out there and now they're so tied to something that's so politically toxic that they need to try to scramble back on the ship, or else they're going to fall into shark infested waters politically.
We're talking here with Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I'm your guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. So obviously so much going on with Elon Musk in town yesterday, just with the election happening tomorrow. What is Election Eve Day like for you here in Wisconsin? What are you up to today?
So I right now am in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'm at the Oshkosh County Democratic Party's office. Excuse me, Winnebago County Democratic Party office.
Glad to hear it. My old stomping grounds in Oshkosh. Always got to give a shout out to Oshkosh. I'm a proud graduate of UWO. So shout out Oshkosh.
Great stomping grounds they are. I was just knocking on doors with Gordon Hintz and Lori Palmieri a little bit. And then earlier today, I was in Green Bay and did a campus kickoff there. I'm doing a ton of press. I'm doing a lot of I'm getting the kind of wave of what are you hearing texts that political operatives often do, and have a little write up about sources of energy and sources of anxiety. And then tonight I'm going to be back in Madison with Judge Crawford for her last stop on her giant 23 stop tour at the Majestic in Madison on at 5:15 p.m. Everyone's invited, which I think will be great. So I think that this is going to be, this is a very good day. We do not have any $1 million checks to hand out to anybody. And we're also not inspiring thousands of people to come out and protest. What we're doing is talking to voters about this election. And what we find is when you start talking about Musk, people's eyes light up and start to smolder. People are mad and they want a way to fight back. And this race gives them a way to fight back.
Yeah. Has that been the most, has been the topic that's really stood out the most as you're talking to voters, as you're, touring around the state?
Yes. That's what's so interesting about it. It is normally, the people supporting a candidate are a much less big deal than the candidates themselves. And Susan Crawford is a formidable candidate, but Brad Schimmel has outsourced his campaign to Elon Musk. And Elon Musk has become not just an icon of everything that's wrong. He's the author of so much that's wrong in this country at this moment. And so that it really does become a conversation about that and whether it's okay. And what is he going to do with your Social Security information? And what is it going to mean for the university system in our state when he's defunding it systematically? Like so many things that directly affect people in their lives are connected to him personally, Musk personally. And there's no number of bribes that he can give out to, hand-selected Republican activists that can change that fact. People don't want to live underneath his guillotine. Like they want to pull their head out and get off the platform. And yeah, I think Elon Musk's role in this race, for all the money he's put in, it's actually going to drive out Democratic turnout even more. And I think once, moderate or purple district members of Congress realize that, they're going to face an existential choice between risking a primary challenge from a Musk-funded challenger or a general election in which they're tied to the most unpopular person in American politics.
We're talking here with Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's in Oshkosh. He's been all over the state. There's so much going on with this race. So what is, beyond the talking about Elon, because we've talked a lot about Elon, what is your closing message that you're bringing to voters when you're talking to them in their communities?
Well, if you want an abortion ban, you should vote for Brad Schimmel, because he is a big abortion ban, big abortion ban enthusiast. If you want to have a state Supreme Court that re-gerrymanders our state legislature and locks in gerrymandered congressional seats to make sure Republican politicians always have control, then probably Brad Schimmel's your guy. If you think that decisions around reproductive freedom and gerrymandering and voting rights should be decided based on our law and our constitution by someone whose life speaks to her values of public service, then you should vote for Susan Crawford. And beyond that, if you want to send a message nationwide that the richest people in the world shouldn't be able to just buy elections, that Elon Musk shouldn't get to have total control with no check or balance on his power, then voting for Susan Crawford is the most powerful way to send a message to the whole country that exists on planet Earth right now. People are protesting every weekend at Tesla dealerships and so forth. That is well and good. But defeating Elon Musk in the election that he's made his special project after 2024 in the face of $26 million of his spending, that sends a message that the whole world will hear. And voting for Susan Crawford both affirms your values in the state of Wisconsin and pushes back against this march towards oligarchy that is making the future look very bleak until we can restore some hope.
Wisconsin has a really unique opportunity right now. Not every state's going to have a state level election this year that could, you know, be a referendum on what's going on with Donald Trump, with Elon Musk, with everything else. And, you know, as much as polls will tell something, as much as, you know, media narratives will say something about what's going on, actual votes carry so much more resonance to them. So, you know, I know so many listeners here on Civic Media are ready and excited to go to the polls. Many of you have probably already voted, but now is crunch time, and we got to get everybody we know to get to the polls and send that message to Elon Musk, to Donald Trump, that we can't be bought and that we need a new direction here. So we're going to continue talking with Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, after the break here. I am your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Maggie Dawn. So Maggie will be back very soon to be talking more to all of you fine folks who are listening across the Civic Media Network. Also, just a reminder to all of you that are Break Into Spring Text to Win statewide contest is happening now. So be on the lookout for those codes when we announce them. I think the next one is being announced at 4 p.m. this afternoon. Stick with us. We've got more with Ben Wickler here after the break. Stick with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to find more of my work, you can subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. I've got a recent column there about Brad Schimmel and his pretty awful record on opioid settlements. I've also got a column from Emily Mills on the election here. Emily Cephos also has a piece. We've got so much different stuff at the Recombobulation Area. So go check us out. Go check it out. Subscribe. Help fund our work and what we do at the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media here. We're joined in this segment by Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We've been talking about what's been going on with Elon. We've been talking about what he's been up to on election eve. But I wanted to follow up on, you know, kind of a back and forth that we had over the weekend on Twitter, because there was a recent piece that we published at the Recombobulation Area from Matt Rothschild, the former director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about why Elon Musk and so many other billionaires can spend so obscenely in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And it was about how in 2015, Republican lawmakers changed campaign finance law, rewrote campaign finance law in the state to really change the way we, you know, fund elections in Wisconsin. And I think you can draw a line from what was happening in 2015 to the record spending of more than $100 million that is being spent on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race now. So my question with that I posed on Twitter was, would either party step up and address the 2015 rewrite of campaign finance law that was passed by Republicans that is allowing this nearly unlimited question? You answered that question that I posed to Twitter. What'd you have to say, Mr. Wickler?
I said, absolutely. And it's the Democratic Party. And we'd love for the Republican Party to join us. It's in our platform and always has been since Citizens United that corporations are not people, that money's not speech, that we should overturn Citizens United. You know, we should have public financing in judicial elections like this. This is something that, in fact, Gordon Hintz, who's now running for Winnebago County Executive, had in a bill, I think, in 2010, and with Pat Kreitlow, who's also does a lot of media stuff here now. As Democrats, what we want is a playing field where voters have the voice. And that doesn't mean Democrats will always win. It means that what the public wants will be reflected in government. And Republicans have been the authors of these huge changes to campaign finance laws because they know that ultimately there's more incredibly wealthy people on the right than there are not on the right, the left or the center or what have you. So they're the ones who've kind of demanded these laws. Now, for a while, we were out raising them. After Trump got elected, there was this kind of backlash of people who were terrified about what was happening in the country, including some major donors. And Democrats have raised more than Republicans in these races, in most of the elections since I've been chair. But then the richest Republicans in the country, the richest people in the world, kind of realized, hey, we can just use our money and try to win. So if you look at like the 2024 elections, I think 7 or 8 of the top 10 donors in the country were all Republicans making 9-figure investments in the Trump administration. And Elon Musk was at the top of that list, about $300 million. And now he's by far the biggest donor in the Supreme Court race. Whether he's a Democrat or
Republican. The Uline family, who we know well in Wisconsin as well, they were also in the top 5. Republican, they back every Republican in Wisconsin and have for quite some time. So
they're the second biggest donors in this race, by the way. The right is really into like pointing out, George Soros has contributed to Wisconsin Democrats. Well, the Ulines have contributed like 3 times as much or 4 times as much, and they can't even hold a candle. You have to multiply that times another 3 or 4 to get to what Elon Musk has spent in this race. We're talking amounts of just staggering amounts of money that have never been seen in races like this. And this could continue if it works for the GOP. Because they're standing in the way to make sure that there's an unlimited spigot of campaign cash flowing into our political system. That removes the public's voice. And our state, if you go back 100 years to fighting Bob La Follette in the progressive era, we were pathbreaking in changing campaign finance laws and making it illegal to, bribe public officials through campaign donations. Those were critical reforms that helped pave the way to changes that supported workers' rights and made a difference in people's lives. It feels like we need another progressive era, wave of reform in this country, and this has to be part of it.
And look, if Republicans have a problem with the law that they wrote, they can be a part of changing it. And I think this is a message to them, is if they have a problem with what's going on with the spending in this race, they need to be part of addressing that problem too. Because it is their changes in 2015 that have opened the door to this ridiculous spending. And so you're saying right now that Democrats would be on board with changing that. That sounds great. We need both parties to kind of turn their keys and make this change for Wisconsin, because this has gotten out of control. We all know this has gotten out of control.
Watching Elon Musk waving his $1 million novelty checks around on the stage just makes you want to put your head in your hands, because that is so far from how a democracy is supposed to work. Democracy is literally ruled by the demos, by the people. And this is, this is ruled through money bulldozers. I think this race should signal the kind of maximum point of this kind of oligarchic attempt to control judicial outcomes. And then, the real work begins after this election, because then we have to fight to win a Democratic trifecta in 2026 that can start passing laws that make real change in people's lives. This is holding back an attempt to re-rig Wisconsin. That is what we will do if we succeed tomorrow when the votes are counted. Susan Crawford, if she wins, she will not be someone who's trying to put a thumb on the scale one way or the other. She'll be preventing someone who's trying to slam down an elephant on one side of the scale. But when you have an even playing field, that's when you need to run and pass and do all the work to actually win elections and be able to make change by passing laws that can then be faithfully executed that can help lift working families up.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here on Civic Media this afternoon, Mr. Wickler. I'm sure you've got a very busy 48 hours ahead of you in Wisconsin. And so, keep fighting the good fight out there. Thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me on, and thanks for recombobulating all of us every week.
We will be back after the break here with Ari Berman, who was just spending a couple days in Wisconsin. He wrote a piece about the race at Mother Jones, and we'll be talking to him about that piece and about so much more. Stick with us. You're listening to The Maggie Don Show with your guest host, Dan Schaefer.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.